Hi, so I am Ben Munch, and we investigated the security of smartphone point-of-sale systems in a new form factor, one that's rapidly becoming more and more common. And what we found was, in some cases, a glaring lack of security engineering. A point-of-sale system is used by merchants to gather payment information from a customer, for example, credit card or debit card information. Traditional point-of-sale devices look like this. Standalone, all-in-one devices that are expensive and not particularly portable. Sorry, I've just got to... Oh, well, the Flickr's not working. So there's recently been a transition from this old form factor to a new one, which is called an audio jack magnetic stripe reader. And I'm going to refer to it as an AMSR. They're already used pretty widely. And for example, Square says that they process over $6 billion on an annualized basis in transactions. So we wanted to understand the security implications of this shift to a new form factor. So there are three main components of an AMSR system. There's the card reader, through which the customer swipes their credit card. That credit card information is sent to an app on the smartphone. From there, it is sent over the internet to the payment processing company. Now, there are two different kinds of AMSRs, passive and active. Passive AMSRs do nothing but respond to swipes, whereas active AMSRs do that, but they also have an API that the smartphone app can send commands through. We took a look at these four AMSRs, two revisions of Square and the Roam data and the Unimag 2. Those latter two may not be recognizable, and that's because they're rebranded and resold by other companies, for example, Intuit. And note that three of them are passive and one is active. And also, three of them use encryption. And what that means is that the card data is encrypted on the reader so that theoretically only the payment processing company is able to decrypt it. And this encryption uses a symmetric key. We did the first public security analysis of AMSR point-of-sale systems. Our contributions include a look at the threat models that are relevant to smartphone point-of-sale systems, an investigation of the Android apps that are being used in conjunction with these AMSRs, and an analysis of the devices themselves, which resulted in the discovery of critical vulnerabilities in the Unimag 2's firmware. And while there are more results in the paper, I will be focusing this talk on this discovery of the critical vulnerabilities, which allows a malicious app to break the AMSR or extract its cryptographic key and even upload malicious firmware. So, thinking as a potential attacker, there are a few different vantages from which we might try to break the point-of-sale system. And we break it in the sense of stealing the credit card data. The most compelling of these is malicious software on the phone. And the reason why it's most compelling is that there are lots of ways to get malicious software on the phone. The most obvious way might be to trick the user into downloading a malicious app from an app store. And this already gives the app write access to the audio jack. To get read access, the app would have to trick the user into giving it the appropriate permissions. So once an app is on the phone, one other thing that it can potentially do is try to compromise the operating system of the phone. It can take advantage of an Android vulnerability like one of them on this list and escalate its privileges. So it's clear that any AMSR that doesn't use encryption is already going to be vulnerable to a compromised operating system. However, we'll show that even though the Unimag 2 uses encryption, it is also vulnerable. It is vulnerable to malicious apps, not even a compromised operating system, but malicious apps on the phone. Our analysis found a host of damaging vulnerabilities in the Unimag 2. In the rest of this talk, I'm going to show how a malicious app without compromising the OS can mount a variety of attacks against this AMSR up to full key exposure, and all of these stem from basic software vulnerabilities in the firmware. So the main component of the Unimag 2 is a microprocessor. In this case, a Texas Instruments MSP430. On the software side, it uses derived unique key per transaction for each swipe, which this is an encryption and key management algorithm. It accepts commands from the smartphone according to its own API. And we did our analysis on the Intuit GoPayment branded Unimag 2, but this device is also used by other vendors. The first thing that we attempted in doing our security audit was to get the firmware so that we could reverse engineer and find bugs. But it's proprietary and not publicly available. We tried using JTAG, which is a protocol for interacting with these microcontrollers. However, it was locked, which is industry best practice. So we had to do black box testing. So remember that the Unimag 2 is an active AMSR, and this means that it uses the audio jack as a duplex channel and can accept commands from a smartphone. Active AMSRs have a lot of benefits over passive ones, but due to the permissions model of Android, it means that any malicious app can interact with the smartphone without needing any extra permissions. So in order to test out this API, we found some related documentation, which was for a different card model, but it helped us out. And we also found the Android bytecode for the SDK embedded into the apps. So our next step was to build our own custom testing app, which would allow us to send arbitrary commands. So once the app was working, we could try out interactions with the device. The most obvious communication between the device and the smartphone is a swipe. Swipe data includes the credit card number to determine what kind of credit card it is, Visa, MasterCard, etc., and also the encryption of the credit card number. Another communication is the get settings command. We were able to execute this command, which returns a list of settings and their values. This allowed us to find an undocumented command, which would be very helpful later. But already we can see a potential issue here. Most commands require no authentication at all. The only commands that do require authentication are the load key and updating the firmware commands. And as a consequence of this, an attacker can trivially disable the AMSR. To do this, they send the set encryption command, which it takes either triple DES or AES as a parameter. However, if we change it to AES, the GoPayment app would not recognize the swipe's format. Thus, the user can't successfully swipe their card. So we tested out a few commands that take parameters and to see if we could find some edge cases that would cause invalid behavior. And one of the first things that we found was the set prepan command. It used a signed comparison when it really should have used an unsigned comparison. Now, what does the set prepan command do? Well, this command tells the AMSR how many digits from the beginning, how many digits to unmask from the beginning of a credit card number, which should normally be restricted to between 0 and 6. However, if we pass set prepan a negative value, it happily accepts it. And on the next swipe, it doesn't mask out the credit card number at all. And finally, as a side effect, the AMSR didn't respond to any further swipes after that. We think that critical memory was overridden. So now we've shown that a malicious app has two different ways of stopping swipes and can also leak credit card data of the one swipe that follows it, all because of a few simple software vulnerabilities in the AMSR's firmware. So next, I'll show how to cause the device to stop functioning entirely and to recover the device's sensitive cryptographic key. In showing that, however, I'll need to explain what a preamble is. This is an example of the get settings command and a typical response that it would send to that command. However, in reality, there are a bunch of bytes that are sent before the response to mark the beginning of the response. This is called the preamble. And it turns out that there is an API command that will allow you to change the preamble. And this command, it takes two different parameters, a length and the new preamble string. We focused on this command because it was one of the few that actually took a variable length string. So among the first things that we tried was we tried passing it a lot of bytes. So length 200 and 200 bytes of garbage. And this bricked the device. It no longer responded to any more commands. So we realized that there must be some kind of length checking bug going on here. So we bricked a whole bunch more devices trying to figure out the scope of this vulnerability. And we tried changing the length and the size of the string that we sent. So finally, we found a maximal length setting of 60, where we only sent 9 bytes that didn't break the device, but still resulted in strange behavior. And in particular, the resulting preamble contained extra unknown bytes, 51 bytes. So at first, it wasn't quite clear where these bytes were coming from, but we realized that our original set preamble command was reading from the command buffer, which is used to store the bytes of a command while they're being processed. So these extra bytes must be the remnants of a previous command. And also, the response to that command, and serendipitously enough for an attacker, this command that was previously executed turned out to be the load key command. So that meant now we have most of the key. We didn't quite get all of it. There were 4 bits that were overwritten by the response, but the response contained a key check value, which was the first 3 bytes of the encryption of a block of all zeros using the key. Now we can trivially brute force those last four bits. So a malicious app can send this specially crafted set preamble command and extract the device's key. This key allows decryption of all past and future ciphertext for this particular device. And it also allows entering privileged mode, which is required for uploading new firmware. So now that we've shown that a malicious app can brick the AMSR or retrieve its secret key by exploiting a length checking vulnerability. And again, these all stem from basic software vulnerabilities. So what did we learn from our investigations? Well, first, the audio jack is no longer used for just music and sound, but also, in this case, it's used to communicate sensitive information. And the permission model of Android may need to be updated to reflect this, as well as AMSR and app designers should treat it as a public untrusted channel. Secondly, developers need to keep in mind that apps are trivial to obtain and relatively easy to reverse engineer. This doesn't necessarily seem to be well recognized. For example, several of the apps we analyzed used secrets that were hard-coded into the app executable. Finally, the types of software vulnerabilities that we found in the firmware should have been preventable with proper code review, and it may well be that the embedded systems community needs improved procedures or tools to help secure their software. Most importantly, though, we probably need to increase our efforts to improve awareness of how important security really is in these spaces. So before we submitted the paper, we contacted ID Tech, the developers of the Unimag, as well as Intuit, the developers of the GoPayment app, so that we could get these bugs fixed. They responded quickly and professionally to develop a patched version of the software, and we verified that the patched version prevented the attacks. That's a URL to their security advisory. So to sum things up, we looked at the threat models that are relevant to smartphone point-of-sale systems. We took a preliminary look at the apps that are used, and we found some glaring vulnerabilities in one AMSR, leading to a full break. So I'd be happy to take any questions at this point.
Hi. Approximately how many AMSRs were harmed in the making of this research?
Oh, that's a good question. How many AMSRs were harmed?
And are they expensive?
The ones we got were not super expensive. I think they were like $20 for each one. So I think we harmed about 6 or 7. So not a super lot of them, but still a significant amount. Any other questions?
Hi. First of all, a great presentation I found. Also, one piece of information you didn't say in the presentation was how fast is it to do black box testing on those devices?
Like a round trip command took about 2 seconds, so we couldn't really do any fuzz testing, and I guess I did have a slide for that, but then I got rid of it. So, yeah, it wasn't feasible to do fuzzing. And sometimes if you try doing that for a long time, it would get unreliable. So
how many iterations did you manage to perform? How many tests did you execute with this velocity?
I don't know. As many as we could, I guess, but none. Sorry, I don't know. Is that all? All right, thank you. Mm-hmm.